السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 56th session of Sira Nabawiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sira Khatim al-Nabiyyin. And last week we talked about the building of Masjid Nabawi. So we talked about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the Sahaba, were building the Masjid Nabawi, and we talked about how the Sahaba all took part of that with the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ himself was also participating with the Sahaba in building Masjid Nabawi. So quick question, which well-known Sahabi was carrying two bricks at a time while everyone was carrying one brick? Don't remember. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. Barakallahu feek. Okay, so that was Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet said about said to him, why do you carry two while everyone else is carrying one? He said, I am in need of the ajr. I am in need of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that point the Prophet prophesied his death. He said that the Fiyat al-Baghiya, the oppressing group, will kill Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. Then we talked about the different parts of Masjid Nabawi. So we talked about Riyad al-Jannah. We talked about As-Suffa, the homeless shelter. And we talked about, we talked about Abu Hurairah and the miracle of the bowl of milk. You guys remember that? We talked about that last week. So alhamdulillah. So continuing on, today inshallah we'll talk about some of the merits of Medina Munawwara. And first of all, the names of Medina. So we know that Medina Munawwara, what was the name before the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina Munawwara?
Yathrib.
Okay, Barakallahu Feek. Okay, it was Yathrib. And Yathrib was basically an oasis in the middle of the desert. It's just a stopping point. It wasn't too well known, but a lot of people would stop there on the way to go to going to Syria, going to the north. They would stop there to replenish their supplies, get water to drink, get their animals to rest and whatnot, and then they would go on further. So Yathrib, when the Prophet ﷺ moved to Yathrib, did hijrah to Yathrib, the name was changed. And there are a few names, for example, Medina Munawwara, which means the enlightened city. And we talked about how the arrival of the Prophet ﷺ is what actually made it Medina Munawwara. When he came to Medina, he's the one who lit it up. It became Munawwar, it became enlightened because the Prophet ﷺ. Also, it's called Medina Tul Rasul ﷺ, the city of the Prophet. Okay. Also, Al-Madina by itself, just by itself, Al-Madina. And remember, the root word Al-Madina is basically, or the word Medina, the real translation of that is basically the city. Okay, any city. But here, when you say Al-Madina, everyone knows which city you're talking about. It's the city of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so it became special for the Medina Munawwara. Also, Darul Hijra, the place of Hijra where the Prophet ﷺ made Hijra to. Also, it was called Taiba. Okay, Taiba, which means the pure. Also, Taba, which is from the similar meaning, pure. Okay, in like a good land, a good pure land. So these are different names of Medina Munawwara after the Prophet ﷺ had moved there. Now, one thing we talked about, when we were talking about the merits and the fadail and history of Aqsa, we talked about the prayers inside the three harams. So you have Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama. It's equal, if you pray one prayer in Masjid al-Haram, it's as if you pray, you get basically multiplied by 100,000 times. If you pray in Masjid Nabawi, it's multiplied by how many times? 50,000? So one rawaya, it's a weaker narration, it's 50,000. There's another narration which is stronger, which is 1,000 times. And then there's the third haram, Masjid al-Aqsa. If you pray there, it's as if you pray multiplied by 500 times. Okay, so different rawayat, 50,000 or 1,000. The ulama say basically the both are You know, the rawayat are there, but one is more stronger than the other. One hadith, there's a hadith related by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, and this is related by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, also by Imam Tabarani rahimahullah, excuse me, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla fi masjidi 40 salatan." That whoever prays in my masjid, in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 40 prayers, la yafutuhu salah, that he does not miss any salah from those 40 prayers, kutibat lahu bara'atun min an-nar wa najatun min al-'adhab, that two things are written for that person, bara'a meaning freedom from the fire, that person will be freed from punishment in the hellfire, inshallah. Wa najatun min al-'adhab, and will be given safety, and basically the person will be safe from any type of adab. Wa buri'a min al-nifaq, and also that person will be free from nifaq. That person will be free from hypocrisy. So this is a hadith related by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, also Imam Tabarani rahimahullah, and this is talking about the Masjid Nabawi itself, praying 40 prayers, you know, 40 fard prayers in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you pray those 40 prayers, you will get these three things. Again, bara'atun min al-nar, freedom from hellfire. The najat min al-adhab, being safe from punishment, and safety from becoming a nifaq, munafiq, from a hypocrite. And alhamdulillah, I got one chance. I think two times I did it, but one time I remember for sure that I did it. I made a point. Me and one of my mamus from Pakistan was visiting with us, and we made a point. We said, okay, let's try to do 40 prayers. That's basically 8 days of prayers straight in Masjid Nabawi. So we, alhamdulillah, we did it. And I still remember the last prayer. We did 39 prayers. And the last prayer, I went. This is before the namaz even started. What happened was the parking lot was full. So we got to the parking. We were on time. We got there. The parking lot was full. So I couldn't. I just dropped him there. So he made his namaz. I went back. And I parked, if you go across from Baqi, there's, after the signal, there's like an empty area where they do the qisas and stuff. I don't know if they still do that now, but there was an empty area there. I parked there and I ran to the masjid. I know you're not supposed to run to the masjid, but I ran, and I remember I was making dua for Imam Hudhayfi. Imam Hudhayfi, hafidhullah, may Allah protect him. He was praying, I think it was Isha prayer, I believe. I forgot which prayer it was, or Maghrib prayer. And he read a really long, he's known for that. He prays really long prayers. And he read a really long prayer that day. So I made it before Salam. I think it was third rakat. I made the third rakat. And I got there, alhamdulillah, and I was like, I wouldn't have made it otherwise. If it wasn't Imam Hudhayfi, I probably wouldn't have made it. But alhamdulillah, I do remember that one time we did that. Also, there's another hadith, and this is something that even though we're not in Medina Munawwara, for example, we're not in these holy lands, we can do in any masjid. And this is another hadith, the 40 prayers in any masjid with Takbir al-Ula. Okay, making the prayer with the shart of Takbir al-Ula, the first takbir when you initialize and begin the prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, this is related by Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, again on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radhan, man salla lillah, the one who prays for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 yawman, that prays 40 days of prayers, 40 days of prayers, fi jama'atin, okay, in jama'ah, prays with the jama'ah, yudriku takbirat al-ula, and he catches takbirat al-ula. And takbirat al-ula, the ulama say that if you get there before the imam goes into ruku, before the imam goes into ruku, then inshallah you caught takbirat al-ula. It's as if you prayed the full prayer with the imam. Yudriku takbirat al-ula kutibat lahu bara'atan. So he will get two things written for that person: bara'atun min an-nar wa bara'atun min an-nifaq. That the person will get safety and basic immunity from the fire, and also immunity from becoming a hypocrite. Okay, again, this is 40 days of prayers, five times prayers, that's basically, do the math, 200 prayers, okay, with takbiratul ula. And that's why if you see the number 40 is very significant, and that's why the ulama, when they, for example, that's one of the reasons, okay, again, it's not fard, it's not something that they say is sunnah or anything like that, but 40 days, when you go in jamaat for 40 days, that there's a reason behind that. One of the reasons is this hadith. Based on this hadith, if you pray 40 days in jamaat, and you're going 4 years, you're in the masjid. Okay, so you're going to pray, inshallah, unless you're sleeping or whatever. But if you pray 40 days and you do 5 times a day with the imam, with the takbiratul ula, you will get this reward, inshallah ta'ala. This is something that we can, any of us can do, inshallah ta'ala. And this actually reminds me of a joke. There was a joke, I'm sure you've heard this before. There was an imam, and in his masjid, he found that people were not coming to the daily prayers, especially Fajr. Fajr is difficult for all of us. You know, Allah protect us, Allah give us istiqamat, inshallah. And remember this masjid, Abu, you probably remember, Hafiz Akram, Imam Mufti Akram, he would say sometimes, this is before we had the masjid, when we had the house in front, Mufti Sahab would sometimes wait at Fajr time, no one would come, and then like 5 minutes before the sunrise, he would pray his Fajr, and then he would go home. So he would be basically by himself. No one would show up. So this happens, unfortunately, alhamdulillah, now the masjid is bigger, more community members and more people coming to the masjid now, alhamdulillah. But this imam, basically, he sees that people are not coming. So he thinks, how can I encourage people to come to the masjid? So he says, for one of the prayers, that if you pray 40 days with the imam, with takbiratul ula, then I will give you a maj. Maj is like a cow, okay, in Urdu, I think, or Punjabi. Buffalo? Okay, buffalo. So water buffalo. So basically, I'll give you a cow, water buffalo as a gift if you pray 40 days of prayer in the masjid. So everyone, the next prayer, everyone's at Fajr. They're all sitting there. They're all praying. And Imam turned on and goes, mashallah, it worked. And they got encouraged. Day by day, you see people, they start losing. They miss one prayer here and there. So they stop coming. People start to stop coming. And then he sees the numbers dwindle. And there's one person, after every prayer, there's like a week left, for example. And this guy says to the Imam, you have my water buffalo ready. Okay, so keep it ready for me. I'm gonna take it from you. So Imam says, okay, just calm down, just inshallah, whatever. So they keep on going, and then after the 40 days, this person is the only one left. He prayed all 40 days, 5 times prayers with the Imam, takbiratul ula. After the prayer is over, he comes straight to the Imam to claim his prize, and he says, Imam Sahab, so where's my buffalo? And the Imam says to him that, my salary. I can't afford to give that. I just said it to encourage people so that maybe that, people will start coming to the masjid more often. So I just did it as an encouragement. I can't afford to give you a water buffalo. And this man says, "Theek hai, I did namaz. I also prayed without wudu." He turned and left in anger. So this is just a joke, but Allah, I don't know if that really happened or not, but I hope not. But that's the thing, that we should try to come to the masjid more often. With istiqama. Again, we were talking about this in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we see ourselves praying more in masjid, praying Fajr prayer, praying Isha prayer. You pray Fajr and Isha in the masjid, and Allah SWT gives you the whole night of worship. Isha prayer in jama'ah, you get half the night of worship is recorded for you. If you pray Fajr in the masjid, the other half is recorded for you. Basically, you get the whole night of worship, just those two prayers. So at the very least, we should try to make these two prayers in the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. It's basically, it says, Man salla lillahi 40 yawman fi jama'ah. So in a jama'ah. In the hadith, it's not specifically saying in the masjid. But when you say jama'ah, that means the masjid.
I'm asking, for example, like you're traveling, right? So suppose you're traveling in a group.
Okay.
And there's no masjid, but you're praying in jama'ah with takbir.
Inshallah, yeah. So when there's a hadith, sahih hadith, and this talks about the extreme mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, when they have good habits, making good habits, when you're at home and you're fine, you know, the اغتمم بخمسٍ قبل خمس, take care of five things before five, treasure five things before five, and one of them is, for example, before you get sick, take care of your health. And you know, to take getting good habits while you are healthy, while you are not busy and that kind of stuff, take care of that. Doing tahajjud prayer, for example, doing that. If someone, the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that if someone goes and is traveling or is sick, okay, a person becomes a musafir, is traveling, or the person is sick, then that person will continue getting the rewards when they were muqeeman sahihan. That while they were muqeem, while they were in their own locality at home, and while they were in a good health, whatever they were doing, the habits they had, they'll continue getting the rewards while they are traveling. So inshallah, that should fall under that hadith, that when a person is traveling, they'll get the same reward inshallah ta'ala. Now going on, there's a hadith, again the merits of Medina Munawwara. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in a hadith, Allahumma kfihim man dahamahum bi ba's. The Prophet is making dua for the people of Medina. And he says that whoever plots against the people of Medina, ya'ni ahl al-Medina, meaning the people of Medina Munawwara, anybody who plots against them, wala yuriduha ahadun bisu, that anybody who plots and who wants something evil for the people of Medina, illa adhabahullah kama yadhubul milh fil ma. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause that person to start to melt like the water dissolves in water. The salt dissolves in water. When you put salt in water, and it starts to dissolve, and that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause that person to dissolve, meaning that person will get sicknesses and whatnot if they plot against the people of Medina Munawwara. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, that if you terrorize or you scare the people of Medina. And this is one of the, I think it was Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, when he became older, he became blind. I think it was Jabir radiallahu anhu, he became blind. And when he was older, and then one day he was walking with his child and with his son. And this is when the people took over in Uthman radiallahu anhu's time. When they came, people came into Medina Munawwara and they actually killed Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. At that time, the masjid was actually, there was another time after that where the masjid was even locked and people were not even able to pray in Masjid Nabawi. But one of the times, so Jabir radhiyallahu anhu was there and there was a commotion, something happened. I don't know if it was a fight, something happened where Jabir radhiyallahu anhu says that, O Allah, Allahumma khawwif man khawwafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so basically he said that, O Allah, make that person, terrorize that person and scare that person, fill that person with fear, the one who makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afraid, basically harms the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his son asked him that, what are you talking about? Like, how is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terrorized, or what's going? What do you mean by this? And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who terrorizes the people of Medina is as if they're terrorizing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically meaning that these are my people, the Ahl al-Medina are my people. So whoever does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will terrorize that person. Now, one of the things about the this is off topic, but one of the things they talk about the land of Medina Munawwara. Some the ulama, they say that, okay, we know Haram Makki, the sanctuary of the Haram in Makkah Mukarramah, that you get 100,000 rewards and it's a sanctuary. Is that more holy, or is there some other place in the world that can be more holy than Makkah Mukarramah? What's the most holiest place in the world? And some of the ulama, they respond, they say that actually the dirt, basically the Riyad al-Jannah, and that dirt where the Prophet ﷺ is buried, that is the most holiest place on earth, because the Prophet ﷺ is the khayru khalqillah, he is the best of all creation. So when the best of creation was buried in that dirt, And that surrounding dirt, basically there's a hadith, the ulama say, that a person, wherever they're buried, that's where their creation was taken from. So when the angel went and took the creation, took the dirt from the world, from different parts of the world, the Prophet ﷺ being buried in Medina Munawwara, in where he's buried today, that's basically where he's created from. That's the dirt. He's been put back into that dirt. So they say that this area, basically the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, that land is more holy than the Kaaba. The sanctuary in Makkah Mukarramah. Now another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, من صبر على لأوائها وشدتها كنت له شفيعا أو شهيدا يوم القيامة. The Prophet ﷺ says that the one who has patience on the harsh conditions and the difficulties in Medina Munawwara, then I will be a shafi', or in another narration, shaheed, a witness, intercessor, or a witness for that person on the Day of Judgment. So this is khas. We know the Prophet ﷺ will do intercession for all the ummah, the ones who are practicing Muslims, the good Muslims of the ummah. But this is something that will be khas for the people of Medina, the ones who lived in Medina Munawwara. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, this is Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He says the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man istata'a an yamuta bil Medina." The one who is able to die in Medina, fal yamut biha, then that person should go try to die in Medina Munawwara. Fa inni ashfa'u liman yamut biha, because I will give intercession for those who die in Medina Munawwara. Again, the ulama, they talk about this. They say that basically what this means is the person who is able to move to Medina and stay there, live there, and basically be buried there, inshallah, make Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to be buried in Medina Munawwara, then the Prophet ﷺ will give a khas, will give a special intercession for the people of Baqi' and the surrounding in Medina, and the ones who were buried in Medina Munawwara, inshallah ta'ala. Also, one thing, a warning, is that for all of us, yes, we should try to go and live in Medina Munawwara. And like the Prophet ﷺ said, that he will be an intercessor for the person who dies in Medina. But that doesn't mean that you can go there and live there the way you without any conditions or anything like that, and live the way you want to live. You have to live by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And if a person does not live by the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina Munawwara, there's a hadith, very scary hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says that the person in Medina, basically Medina is like a kir, it's like a stove or a furnace, okay? Like a furnace. You know when you're making a sword making, for example, they'll put the sword, they'll keep on putting it back in, the hadith, the iron, and they have to strain it out, and they basically purify the iron from any type of impurities and whatnot. So basically, Medina Munawwara is like that furnace, and it will purify itself, just like the fern or the furnace purifies the hadith from the impurities. So basically, the person living in Medina Munawwara, if they're not pure, if they're not living against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you'll see a lot of times the people, this is not 100% like necessary, but those people will leave, eventually be forced out of Medina or leave Medina on their own will, being disgusted. Now there's a shart too, the ulama say, being a person being disgusted of living there and not liking to live there. Like for example, if someone has their heart in Medina and they have to leave because they're forced out for some reason or another, that's different. But if they have disgust for it and they don't want to live, they're like, oh, I'm sick of living here, na'udhu billah, something like that, that's something that we have to be careful from. So inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, inshallah. I'll stop there and we'll continue next week with the establishment of the akhuwa, the brotherhood in Islam. We'll talk about that inshallah next week. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.